Welcome back to another episode of Above the Fold with the Ag Communicators Network. I'm Kelsey Litchfield. Today, Holly Spangler is taking the hosting chair and interviewing Mitch Heisler with Wiffles Hybrids. Holly and Mitch discuss working with the media and guidelines to a successful agronomy interview. Mitch provides some feedback about target audience, length of interview, narrowing down key topics for the story, and more. A special thank you to Wiffles Hybrids for their support and sponsorship of this podcast. Now let's get to the interview with Holly and Mitch.
Well, we are back with another ACN podcast and really excited this time around to be here with Mitch Heisler from Wiffles Hybrids. I'm Holly Spangler. I'm editor of Prairie Farmer Magazine. And Mitch, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, Mitch Heisler. I'm the product and agronomy manager at Wiffles. So I've been with Wiffles 13 years and worked a little bit as a sales DSM salesperson for the first few years, and then have been agronomic marketing role of a few different sorts since then. Live right by the Quad Cities, work in our Geneseo office. Excited to be here.
Excellent. And you've worked with your fair share of media over the years.
Yeah. It's always fun to get out and talk to media and, you know, try to do what we can to communicate, meaningful things ultimately to our customers and your readers and listeners. So, I had the pleasure of talking to a lot of media over the years as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've obviously worked a lot together over the years being here in Illinois and growing a lot of corn.
Yeah.
And wanting to report on that. And we've always appreciated the relationship we've had with you guys and just your ability to, you know, if I shoot Jill or whoever a text or an email to say, hey, can somebody talk about fill in the blank? You know, there's always somebody that can talk about it.
Right.
And talk about it authoritatively, which is really good too. But, you know, part of what we were thinking about for this podcast is like, how do you, just like maybe share some of the roadmap, I guess, maybe of where you've been in terms of working with media and what are some of the pitfalls and the things that we could do better, or the things that maybe you've seen that work really well that we could do more of. Some of those things, I know when I call up somebody, I'm looking for Illinois, right? And certainly that's not everybody's bag. You know, if somebody calls you from Successful Farming or, you know, Progressive Farmer or wherever, you know, they're maybe looking at more of a regional or Midwest or national audience, you know, depending on the topic. So how are some ways that you see media go about that? And how can we do that better?
Yeah, great question. And I think it maybe goes without saying, but I will say a lot of what I'll talk about, there's responsibility on both sides for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think whenever I'm going into an interview, part of what I try to do is think about some of these same things, but I will say, you know, one of the more important things is exactly what you bring up, is who is the target audience for the story that we're putting together? I mean, sometimes it's fairly obvious depending on who you're talking to, but other times it may not be. So I don't want to be talking about something that's going on in Western Iowa if we're writing a story for Illinois. You know, that's not going to be applicable. It's not going to help either one of us. So that's certainly a very important one. And it also helps me to know that maybe even a little bit ahead of the interview itself, so that I can kind of get my grounding on, you know, making sure I know the growing conditions that were going on or what the key topics are going to be for farmers or customers in that area.
For sure. And I would guess you deal with a fair number of broadcasters, farm broadcasters as well, and maybe in some cases, writers who are also broadcasting as we're mm-hmm. doing a podcast. But I would guess, you know, kind of setting up some of that audio length is important too, because on the rare time that I've been on the other end of that deal and been interviewed by like a DeLoss Yankee or something, I always ask, okay, are we talking 3 minutes? Or are we talking 10 minutes? So like, yeah. How long does that answer need to be?
Yeah, exactly. And I always joke, you know, myself and the guys on my team, if we need to fill airtime, we probably can do that. You know, we can probably ramble on about corn for a while if you want us to, but yeah, if you're looking to make a 3 minute segment, then we can definitely get to the point, get our key points communicated, or even knowing, okay, are we doing live to tape? You know, is this going to be edited? You know, that can kind of help us know with how concise to be, knowing what's the end product got to be or how are we putting it together.
Yeah, for sure. I'm guessing you guys could talk about corn all day and fill a lot of time if you need
Yeah,
to.
yeah. I mean, eventually we might put people to sleep. So if that's what you're going for, we could probably take care of that too. But one thing I will mention too that has caught me off guard a couple times is you know, I think you mentioned it when I'm talking to someone who I think is writing a printed story, and then you know they will end up using that audio on an online version or something like that as well. And it's never been anything bad. It's just another thing good to know. And you know, like I said, I didn't ask. But it's just another thing good to know going into it is oftentimes I think that that's probably recorded just so you can transcribe and get the quotes later. But if you are intended to use that later, that's good to know going into it too.
Yeah, my favorite line, and I record more than I used to, you know what I mean? Just because it's so easy now and there's
right.
You know, auto transcription services that are really cheap and work really well. And I kind of like that as a backup. You know, like if I'm interviewing Ryan General, yep. to be able to go back and wait, did he say, you know, and I still take my notes, but I use that as a backup. But I always say at the beginning, hey, are you okay if I record this? Not for broadcast purposes, just for my note taking. So yeah. If I get behind, we're still cool. And, you know, everybody always says that's fine. But
yeah. And I mean, I'm always totally fine with that because that just makes sure that at least what I say is what gets, you know, used. Not that I always say it exactly how I want to anyways, but you know, it just gives you some reassurance too, that you know, the quote will be what you said or right.
So. Right. Right. And the other thing, you know, we talk about this when we send a check copy out for a fact check, like it's good for both of us if this is right.
You know, yeah.
We're, you know, I always joke, we're not breaking Watergate here. Right. Like,
right.
We're going to send you a check copy. We're going to make sure everything is right and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
we want your folks to look knowledgeable, and we want to look like we are too, because we got our stuff straight. So,
yeah. And ultimately, you know, for both of us, we're trying to get good information to your readers, or to your listeners. So, I mean, that's kind of how we look at it is, we sometimes might say something wrong or that doesn't line up exactly with the story, and so it's best that we get that corrected before it gets in,
yep.
gets in yep. front of people.
And I know that's harder to do on a fact check too, as these deadlines are just a lot faster and closer than they used to be.
Yeah, and again, that's something that I say definitely falls on our side of it too, is we got to be fast because you guys are on deadlines, and or if it's a, you know, if it's an audio story or even a story you're trying to get up on the webs, timeliness is a big part of that too. So that's something that we talk about, you know, Jill kind of harps on us too, are to make sure we get those turned around quickly.
Right. Right. Well, and the sad fact is that a lot of us live by a deadline.
Yeah.
For a reason, right?
Right. Right. So exactly.
Sometimes it's pushing up against that
deadline
pretty hard. And we do always appreciate a fast turnaround, even we know it can't always happen, but
yeah,
it's always good.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us who are writing are doing this, you know, straddle between digital and print, right? Where something's going to go online maybe right now, but it's not going to go in print until the next issue. And that could be 4 weeks down the road, you know, in some cases. And I know from our end, it's harder to write, you know, like again, I mentioned, Ryan General, like we just did one on Tar Spot, and you've got to write about it this, okay, so that's going to show up in print in July. So,
right.
You know, talking to like kind of forward thinking and that kind of thing, but when your folks are interviewed, are they generally making it, are the writers generally making it clear, okay, this is going to run online on this at this point and in print at this point, or is that something that we could do a little better job at?
Yeah, it's certainly a mixed bag. I think sometimes, you know, you're sitting down for an interview with someone who's just, you know, they want to talk about multiple different topics, and that could run anytime in the next 6 months. Sometimes you're talking to someone for a specific story, and I'll admit that's something I'm not usually good at asking, is when is this intended to run? And it's important for the very reason you said, you know, a lot of things are very timely, you know, something that we might be talking about might be irrelevant in 2 weeks. And so if your story is running 4 weeks later, that's not doing either of us any good. So, I mean, I'll admit too, it's hard for us to put ourselves in the mindset of a month advance sometimes, but you know, if we know that that's what the intention is, then we can definitely get ourselves there and have better information and content that's going to help people make that decision that's coming a month from now. Because that's ultimately what matters. And I think, like you said, the straddle sometimes of, you know, it might be something you're going to be getting out on the web right away, but it's going to go in print a month from now. We're still probably going to try to target that decision that's a month from now, not, you know, or maybe there's parts of it that could be used on the web initially, but just don't make it into the final printed piece if they're not relevant at that point too.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, again, I just think of that tar spot story. You know, there are a lot of conversations you can have around, like, how do you make the fungicide decision? What's research shown? There's a lot of research out now on that, you know, about timing and products and, you know, scouting and all that kind of stuff. And that really can build out a story pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, tar spot's one of those, luckily or unluckily, it doesn't have a short window of relevance. You know, there might be different things that are important at different times of year. You know, earlier in the growing season, you might have different things you're looking for or really want to focus on versus you get to pollination or after pollination time. So it just helps kind of know what to narrow in on with that topic. And even if it's a topic that might be relevant all year long, you can maybe narrow in on what's the important part this time of year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. What about, you know, just thinking about context too? I mean, sometimes we're writing stories that are straight up about tar spot, or sometimes it's more of a general agronomic, or maybe we might say something, you know, that somebody will say something that I'll make a note that, okay, then we'll come back to that next winter as part of this other story on seed selection or whatever. Do you see that happening very often? And is that kind of important to talk about? Because sometimes it feels like that happens a little more organically, right? Like, I intended for this interview to be about this one thing, but something else is mentioned and I stash that away for later.
Yeah, I think whenever it's known that this is, you know, interview is part of a bigger story, I can think of one example where, you know, I was talking to someone about corn rootworm monitoring, you know, doing corn rootworm monitoring, and it was part of a broader kind of crop scouting calendar story. And so I didn't necessarily know that at the time. It didn't really end up mattering, but that would have been helpful context just to help me know of, okay, how do I frame this up? But I think you're right. There are often times where, you know, like I said earlier, we might be sitting down for an interview on five or six different topics, and they could be used multiple different places. It could, you know, spark an idea to write a story. So, I mean, I certainly understand that's not always known going into it, but whenever it is, it's helpful context to know. Just, I don't know how much it would change our answers, but it'll just help us know, okay, what are we working towards here? What kind of information can I provide that's going to help feed into the story they're ultimately trying to write?
Yeah. Yeah. I've always understood Gil Gullickson to be the master of an interview and, you know, a zillion words of notes typed very fast. And that ability, like I would like to know from him someday how he files that away, because then he'll use, you know, that in half a dozen stories, let's say.
Yeah.
Down the road.
He is, I think he is the godfather of that for sure. And
for sure.
His note-taking ability is unmatched from what I've seen. So yeah, it's a great example.
Very fast typer.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Well, and that kind of leads to that same idea of, like, okay, is this about this one thing, this one topic, or is it about a lot of topics, or is it, because sometimes I feel like, you know, we will do this a little bit of a fishing expedition, you know, like I might call Ryan up or somebody and say, okay, what are you seeing? What's going on? That kind of thing. And then just through the conversation, we narrow in on what's happening. But is that alarming when you get that kind of a call, right, from somebody who's casting a wider net to figure out what should be written about?
Yeah, I think, I guess this is the place where I might break it into two areas. You know, if you're talking to someone who's focusing on a printed article or a written article for web, I think that's a little bit, it makes a lot more sense to just kind of let's explore, you know, what's going on. What are some key things that farmers need to be thinking about in the next 2 weeks, months, you know, and then we can maybe find what the story is out of that. you know, I will say when you go into an audio interview or a radio interview, it's okay to do that ahead of time, but I certainly wouldn't want to be doing that during the interview, because then it can sometimes be a struggle to, did we really get anything across, or did we just end up kind of talking in circles? So I think on audio interviews, I like to try to get it down to, okay, what's one or two key things that I want to try to talk about topic wise. And then let that be the focus of the interview so that we can make sure we actually get some helpful, meaningful things across in that short time.
And I think it's definitely a struggle too, and maybe more for younger writers, you know, who are trying to figure out, okay, the difference between getting a story and getting 1,000 stories, mm-hmm. you know, as you spend time talking and.
Well, and usually, you know, sometimes there's, you know, some communication that even before we sit down or go on the call to do the interview of what might be some important topics that you'd want to talk about for July. And so we can try to get some of that worked out, even for the print articles or the print or web interviews. We can try to get some of that worked out ahead of time, because I know, I'm guessing, you know, you're also probably talking to 10 or 15 different sources. And so you don't need to talk to every source about the same thing. It might be good to get, you know, a couple stories from this person, a couple from this one. And so if you kind of know, okay, what am I getting from Mitch today? You can maybe check those off, or at least know you've got a couple things in the can on that story, and you can maybe focus on something else with a different source you're talking to.
For sure. What about, you know, and granted, I've spoken with a lot of different agronomists over the years, and many are really good at avoiding kind of the technical speak or the jargon or whatever, because they tend to be pretty grounded, you know what I mean, in the field kind of people who spend a lot of time with farmers, so they speak farmer, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But is there a way, you know, that we could either phrase questions or handle an interview that would really help an agronomist remain, you know, to avoid, you know, using a lot of jargon or to highly technical speak?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I'm trying to think, you know, again, that's one of the things that I guess I think of, you know, with me and the guys on my team that we need to focus on. I'm trying to think, you know, what of that responsibility could the person on the media side bring? I think more than anything, it's trying to focus in on what are the decisions or what are the actions we want somebody to be able to take from this. And if you can, I guess, kind of ask the questions in that way, it might help fend off some of the symptomology, which is where you sometimes get pretty dark, you know, technical. Some of that stuff, you know, what the scientific name of the disease is great, but that doesn't really help said farmer know what do I do about it? You know, how do I diagnose it? And then what do I do if I do have it? You know, so I think maybe just trying to steer the interview towards what are the actions we can take? What are the, you know, what are we asking the farmer to do? What are we asking the customer to do? I think sometimes just naturally that'll help them get in that mindset of, okay, yeah, now I'm talking to a customer. Here's how I would say that, or here's how I would try to get that across. And here are the important things, not the deep technical part of it.
Right. Right. Mitch, do you typically sit in on any of those interviews?
Yeah. I, like if somebody on my team would be doing, I do not know. I think sometimes I would probably get in the way more than I'm helping, for sure. Right. I think it's best if those are, you certainly when I've been involved in them, you know, if you're doing an interview with two people from Wiffles, sometimes that can even be not quite as conversational as if you're just sitting down with somebody one-on-one or talking to them one-on-one. So I do not do that as a practice, and you know, I'll jump in and help with review. But just usually because honestly, they're out in the field a lot more and I sometimes have more time to get that turned around quickly,
Right. For sure. Well, and I'm guessing the vast majority of your media interactions at Wiffles is with ag media.
Yeah.
And maybe a brief foray into non-ag media back when the president came to town and
right.
some of those things were happening. But is that accurate, or are you talking to some non-ag media here and there too?
I mean, certainly 80, 90% is ag media. You know, there are times where we'll do interviews with local, you know, local media, news stations, papers about, you know, that comes in a lot more when we have maybe a facility expansion or we have a big event going on in a certain area, or we have, you know, maybe we're hiring some more people, or, you know, I'm trying to think of some examples, but we've certainly had that. Or there's sometimes where they just want the farmer interest story, you know, that local media does. And so they'll, you know, we've talked to them a lot of times about, okay, what if we're getting to the start of a micro drought, you might call it. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of weeks, even the local, local media starts to pick up on that and start asking questions just to get that story out to the broader public. So we certainly love doing those as well. You have to put yourself in a different mindset, you know, talk completely differently on the topics, but we certainly want the broader public to know some of what goes on in this industry too.
Yeah. What's the preparation like for one of those interviews? You know, I'm thinking if like a lean TV station or whatever comes calling, how are you preparing your folks for that?
It's a similar process, just totally different answers to the process, I guess. It's like, okay, who's the target audience? What do they care about? What do we want to get across to them? It is usually a 180 from our day to day. So, you know, you have to kind of take a step back and rethink your answers on a lot of things. Or, you know, you talked about getting technical before. Well, it's a whole different level when you're talking to them, not because people couldn't understand it, but more just because that's not what they're interested in. They're interested in the kind of human interest, I guess you would say, part of the story usually.
Sure. You know, over the years, I'm sure too, your folks have been involved in some really great interviews and maybe some really not great interviews. Is there a common thread in either of those, you know, a good question that's always asked, or a bad question, or a best or worst practice?
Yeah, it's a lot of what we've talked about. I would say the ones where I've felt leaving them the least valuable is, you know, like if you're at a trade show and you've kind of just got the walking around to try to talk to as many people as you can. And it's the what's going on today. You know, those are usually the one. And like I said, some of that we can work out ahead of time before we start recording. But if we start trying to do that while we're recording, I sometimes, like we talked about earlier, there's maybe 15 things that are going on in my mind, and I don't get narrowed down to what are the two things that I can really talk about. And so those are probably the ones that I leave feeling like I added the least value to sometimes. You know, some of the best are, you know, we've worked out ahead of time. All right, this is what the topic is. Here's, you know, kind of the intended use of it. And we're able to sit down and really just have a conversation. And I think, you know, the more that we can kind of just get disarmed on exactly, okay, what's their motive versus my motive, and it can just be a conversation, that's when we can really, I think, get the most useful information out there, get the most real, because that's ultimately what people will respond to.
For sure. I've been a little remiss here in mentioning Kelsey Litchfield is here with us as well. Kelsey's working with the agronomists at the Illinois Soybean Association and doing a lot of that similar work in terms of liaison between media and agronomists. And I'm curious, Kelsey, like as you've been preparing agronomists and helping them prep for media interviews, are there some things that you guys hit on every time as well?
Yeah, and what I've come to find is you either have the interviews you can plan for, and then some of them are just going to pop up out of nowhere. So it's either you have a good list. And I think from just listening, the point is preparedness. Try to prepare as much as possible. I've done some media training with Colleen Callahan Consultancy, where that's the whole thing is prepare and practice as much as usual. But then there are the ones where they're like last minute, someone calls, say it's an important timely topic. And I sound like a broken record too, probably to Stephanie Porter. I say it's timely and relevant. We need to turn it around quickly because we're also pushing out news and things too. But I think the more that we can prepare agronomists to on our end, whether it's through media training or something like that, get them more comfortable and have them really in their mind think about who's the target audience and just ingrain that more and more. I think they can become those experts and get called upon a lot. Like it sounds like you, Mitch, you have created great relationships with media. I think that's important to have that media contact whom you trust and that they're going to do a good job, and that makes a good interview and kind of everyone wins. So that's been my observations, I would say, so far.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like we have a variety of agronomists, you know, that we reach out to as journalists, and I love having enough of a relationship with those folks that I can, you know, even text them a picture and say, hey, is this water hemp? Or, you know, right. Kind of that last minute, very casual sort of fact check, or, hey, is this a thing? I just heard this today. Is this a story? You know, that, and that kind of relationship is invaluable for us as journalists, because we don't know this stuff. We just are trying to communicate, you know, what's the right story to our readers. And so to have a good relationship with the people who do know the stuff is very important and relevant for us.
Yeah, just to build on something Kelsey said there, you know, we, just like I'm sure I know you guys do, try to come up with, okay, let's try to schedule out our content calendar for the year. You know, what are the topics that we're going to have to talk about different times of the year? And it, you know, I always sometimes laugh when we're doing that, because usually the most impactful or most read or used content is the stuff that's not on there at the beginning of the year. It's what's going to come up. You can try to plan ahead for it as much as you can, but it becomes the most popular because it's something that we're not thinking of going into it. So everybody's searching for that information. And so it is definitely important when those do come up to be able to get something out quickly, because those are the times when people are looking for the answer more than anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something we're dealing with right now when we're planning for summer events. And I keep saying there's going to be something that's going to pop up. And I mean, who knew we might be in this micro drought come early April because we were getting good rain. I mean, just those timely and relevant things that they're just going to come up, pop up the last minute. You can do your best with them. But I think that's also knowing and being prepared as much with these things you've talked about, Mitch, I think will help when those short random pop-up interviews might come about, or a text or something, and establishing that relationship with the media. So you know what target they are. Are they more national? Are they more regional? And developing alongside that.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, there a lot of the things that I've talked about here, there's also plenty of responsibility that falls on my side of the fence with that. And I think, you know, the more you can get a system in place of, okay, I'm going to do an interview, I need to think about these four things before I even start. You know, that just helps everybody involved make it more productive, you know? So even if it is one that you get a 15 minute notice on, you can still go through that same process, you know, and just think about, who am I talking to? What's the target audience? What's the intended use? What are the key points I want to get across? So.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, and so much of what we do, all of us, in ag is relationship driven, you know, mm-hmm. when we're making contacts or making calls or whatever it is, you know, and I think so often, sometimes these relationships don't even necessarily lead to an agronomy story. Like I'm thinking of a couple of years ago, Jill Carlson and I were talking one day, and, you know, she threw out the idea of talking with Wiffle's leadership, senior leadership, about, you know, their transition of the business to the next generation and how that really mirrors a lot of what farmers are going to. And it was sort of a light bulb, like, that's genius. That's a great idea, you know? Yeah. And then she was able to help me line up interviews and make it all happen. And it worked out really nicely. So again, I just really, I emphasize the value of those relationships, you know, to any new writer in our organization or anywhere, that, those relationships are going to pay off in the stories that you do, but just also in the enjoyment of your work, because people in ag are really good people, and we can have a good time together.
Well, and I'll just say, you know, from my point of view too, you know, first off, that story was beautiful, by the way. That was great. I think we certainly respect the role that media plays in communicating with our customers and farmers. I mean, you guys have the respect and the kind of that unbiased perspective that, you know, that's who they're going to search for information. We can write stories and put them on our website. That, you know, sure, that's great, but that's not gonna solve the issue, and that's not gonna reach the people we want to get to. And even if it does reach them, they may not believe our story as much as they would from someone who's, you know, getting multiple sources and putting together that kind of unbiased perspective, and really, you know, in a lot of senses, representing the farmer in that story in a lot of cases too. So, you know, we certainly see the value, and like you said, those relationships are super important, because we know we can't effectively communicate to, you know, the farmers or our customers without that channel. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mitch, that feels like a pretty, pretty good word to end this on.
Yeah.
We sure appreciate your time. We appreciate everything you do to make our jobs a little easier for ag journalists, and just the chance to share a little bit today, you know, and I hope we have a lot of younger ag journalists who, you know, communicators who tune into these and can maybe take away something for their career too.
Yeah, it was great talking with you both, and appreciate it. And I would just say, don't ever hesitate to reach out. We don't bite too hard. So
absolutely. I hope we don't either.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Thank you, Mitch. Thanks, Kelsey. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listening in on this interview was very beneficial to me, and I definitely wrote down some notes. The common theme to me while I was listening to Holly and Mitch was to be prepared as much as possible and communicate with whomever you're interviewing with, whether that be an editor, a broadcaster, whomever it may be, as much as possible about the story and what expectations there are when it comes to the interview. A thank you again to Mitch Heisler for being on the Above the Fold podcast today, and again to Wiffles Hybrids for their sponsorship. I'm Kelsey Litchfield. Thank you for listening.